fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
We're recapping Sunday's action.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Eve, and Chris.
All right, welcome to the show on Monday, September 19th. Oh, so that's why people weren't drafting running backs early. Okay, guys, it all makes sense now.
We're not doing this.
We're not doing this?
No, we're not doing this.
Last week was the, hey, we overreacted to the running back wide receiver thing. This week, oh my gosh, major, major injuries at the position. How are you guys, Heath and Chris? What's up?
I hate the Colts. I hate the Giants, mostly.
I hate the Saints right now.
The Saints? Okay.
Whoa. Happy days. I hate Chris Towers.
Boom!
Yeah.
That's fair.
He's going to beat me in two fantasy leagues this week unless Alshon Jeffrey gets injured before the game starts.
I had a great week.
I had a terrible week.
I had a great week of fantasy.
Good for you.
So I'm on cloud nine. Cloud 10.
Slightly above average week, which is what I've always strived for in life. I don't want anything too good because then you have to live up to that.
Okay, well, you've nailed that, Heath.
Thank you.
Up average. You've nailed that. Hey, email us, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. We're going to go through the games. We're going to go through the winners and losers. We're going to go through the running back injuries. But you know what? It's such a gloomy day for fantasy owners with Peterson, Abdullah, Martin, Stewart, Rawls, Foster, Woodhead, Jennings, all hurt to different severities. We'll talk about all the situations. Let's start with something positive. What should fantasy owners be happy about right now? Chris Towers, the guy on Cloud 10. Put us on Cloud 11.
That they drafted and stashed all those guys' backups? Is that, am I ruining the spirit of the thing?
Kind of.
Yeah. Be happy, Chris.
I'm happy I drafted a lot of Marvin Jones, even though I was very skeptical of him in the preseason. I am extremely happy about the amount of Marvin Jones I have in my life currently.
Heath, what should fantasy owners be happy about right now?
I was going to say, because Chris gave us what he's happy about.
Yeah, very self-centered.
That's
man.
All I care about.
I'm going to do two things real quick.
Am I supposed to care about your happiness?
Fantasy owners should be happy if they drafted Matt Ryan, because he has been freaking elite through two games.
Only quarterback interception yesterday.
Only quarterback in the NFL averaging 10 yards per attempt, has a 72% completion ratio, second in the NFL in yards passing, 5 touchdowns, only 1 interception. He's back.
Well, all right. Now, I'm glad you mentioned him.
And then the thing I'm happy about is I have the best Twitter followers in the history of the universe.
They are more than slightly above average?
They are amazing. Because like every week I give 10 million pieces of advice. And you always hope that you give more advice, good advice than bad advice, but you know, giving advice that many times, you're going to give some bad start sit advice, right?
Sure.
2 weeks in a row, though, now, all I hear on Twitter all day, 2 weeks ago it was yay Larry Fitzgerald. This week it was Dennis Pitta, OMG.
That was a great call.
It was just over and over. And that's all people, like, nobody's saying, why did you tell me to pick Adrian Peterson in the first round? Everybody's just saying nice things.
Good. That's good. Everybody's happy. They must have had a Chris Towers-like week. But can I ask you about Eli? Not Eli Manning, but he's a point that I want to make.
Let's just be honest, though. You have quality filter on Twitter, right?
No.
No, but can I ask you about Matt Ryan? Because you just look at the opponents that Matt Ryan has played, and it certainly looks like they're two pretty bad defenses in Oakland and Tampa Bay, bad pass defenses. What do you think about that?
I think that's fair. I think that Matt Ryan's probably going to play a lot of games this year against bad pass defenses.
Yeah.
He plays in the NFC South.
Yeah.
I mean, he hasn't even played the Saints yet.
Yeah, one of his Saints games is week 17.
A quarter of his games will be against the Saints and Buccaneers, so that helps.
But he's at New Orleans next week. That's nice.
The thing that impresses me is, because I don't think the Raiders are necessarily a terrible defense. It's getting harder to believe that now. But the fact that he went cross country, played outdoors, and put up that type of production, I'm very pleased. He's not going to be the number one or number two quarterback this year, but I feel pretty confident he's going to be top 10, top 12.
Nah, look, you were on that, both of you, I think, preseason. So, right now looking pretty good. And I think even though Mohamed Sanu didn't do much yesterday, he got the tight ends involved. So things looking good for Ryan at New Orleans next week. Then look at this stretch for Ryan. Carolina at Denver at Seattle in weeks 4, 5, and 6.
That's well, the good news bad. Is he was the 16th quarterback taken in all your leagues, so sure. if you have to sit him for those 3 weeks, it's fine.
Yeah. All right, and I think fantasy owners should be happy about Stefon Diggs. It's possible we have a star emerging here. It seems like Chris Collinsworth was on board with that. He picked on Demarius Randall yesterday, who was filling in for Sam Shields. Diggs did, not Collinsworth. But this is two straight 100-yard games. Diggs was a winner for Chris Towers in week one, and he's a winner for everybody in week two. Huge game. 9 catches, 182 yards, and 1 touchdown. And I think it was pretty cool to see him and Sam Bradford didn't need much time to get on the same page, guys. That was an encouraging night for Mr. Diggs.
You want a hot take?
Yeah.
He was the best receiver playing in that game.
Will he be the best receiver season long?
No.
Probably okay. not.
In the NFL? No.
No. In the Packers, Vikings.
On the probably not, but
I think it's very possible.
I mean, okay, it's two games in. I expected the Packers offense to be what they were 2 years ago when they had Jordy Nelson healthy and everybody was there. And they just haven't been that through two games, and it's only two games.
I mean, we have to put Diggs in the top 20 for sure, right?
Yes.
Top 15?
I mean, who are some of the top 15 guys before the season that have already probably fallen out?
Sammy Watkins.
Odell Sammy Beckham. Watkins, Keenan Allen, Doug Baldwin.
Well, no, I don't think he was. He was not top 15, no. but Dez Bryant was. Demarius Thomas was.
Well, no, it's cool. We're not worried about Dez Bryant anymore.
Allen Robinson.
Yeah, I'm not taking Stefon Diggs over Allen Robinson. Are you?
No, I'm not either.
Definitely not.
Now,
no, but I mean, he's in that. He's in the mid-teens, I think.
Okay,
it's kind of where I see Jordy right now.
But here's a good one, because obviously everybody knows how much I loved him, Michael Floyd, or Stefon Diggs, who you got?
No contest. It's almost like asking Larry Fitzgerald or Michael Floyd.
Really? It's that easy for you?
I don't know why it wouldn't be.
Michael Floyd has not been productive so far. He caught a touchdown yesterday, which is great, but the production through two games has been really disappointing for everyone except Larry Fitzgerald in the Arizona passing game.
It seems like it's time to update the contest standings.
No.
You don't think so?
It's too early.
Kelvin Benjamin.
Early. These numbers have a lot of noise in them. It's really hard to separate the signal from the noise here. It's just you're gonna provide a misleading picture of the situation. I just don't think it's worth it. You're going to give people less than they need.
Who's the number one scoring wide receiver in standard leagues?
Oh, Larry Fitzgerald.
Number five.
Devin Funchess.
It's Kelvin Benjamin.
Ted Ginn.
37.9. He has now a 25-point lead over Michael Floyd, who is sitting at 12.9 for the year.
We can make that up. That's less than 2 points per game.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. We have plenty of time to talk about that. We'll get into the games. I think we have to really dedicate time to the running back injuries, though. Adrian Peterson. I'm going to give you one by one here, and let's just give, I don't want to spend too much time on it because we could probably talk about these running back injuries for an hour. So let's see if we can give some hot takes and obviously, tomorrow is the waiver wire show, so we'll have more information tomorrow. We'll have more information about who to pick up. But Mike Zimmer, he says Peterson's already getting better. He could play next week. He might miss a week. But Jason Cole, Bleacher Report, said there's ligament damage. What do you think about this situation here? How long does it seem serious to you? Because I think Mike Zimmer was full of crap. What do you guys think about the Peterson knee injury?
I think it definitely seems pretty serious. He was already somebody that we looked at as a pretty significant injury risk just because of the age and the workload, and didn't get off to a great start, hasn't looked good so far, and now he's dealing with an injury. Even if he is able to play through it, you can't expect him to be 100%.
I struggled with this a lot watching it last night, and I'm not any type of medical expert at all, but I couldn't tell how he got hurt watching him get tackled. And then the fact that he couldn't even put any weight on it, I was like, that has to be terrible. But there are sometimes leg injuries that you have that just hurt like hell for 30 minutes or an hour, and it turns out there wasn't structural damage. So I think you really have to wait and see. My hottest take on this situation was, I'm not sure that Vikings offensive line is blocking well enough for Jerick McKinnon to matter, even if Peterson's out.
Based on what we've seen through the first two games, I'm not sure Jerick McKinnon's going to get the bulk of the work.
right.
Matt Asiata keeps, nobody has ever been impressed by Matt Asiata, and yet he keeps getting the playing time for it.
He's a Mike Zimmer kind of guy.
And it's that's a little concerning for sure.
Well, if we could look at what happened in 2014 when Peterson only played one game and then he missed the rest of the season, Asiata got more work than McKinnon. McKinnon was a rookie. Asiata got more carries, but Asiata has never been good. 3.5 yards per carry over his career, which is exactly what he averaged that year in 2014. McKinnon, for what it's worth, you know, not a lot of carries, but 4.8 yards per carry and then 5.2 yards per carry. I really don't think Asiata's a better player here, but I, like Heath said, I don't know that, or like Chris said, rather, I don't know that, McKinnon gets the work. Obviously, they're both going to get work. I hope that they turn McKinnon loose, but they certainly didn't last night. Asiata came in and got more work.
They split snaps yesterday. Asiata got 12, McKinnon got 12. It looks like maybe there was one play where they were in together or with Peterson. Based on what we've seen so far, there's not a ton of evidence that McKinnon's going to just get a huge workload. Asiata's still going to be involved.
Now, I don't know how much I care about the offensive line. There aren't that many good offensive lines in football. So if you get a guy with opportunity, you take it. Plus, I think the Packers' run defense, now they lost Guyon last night. He could be out, LeTroy Guyon, for a few weeks. But their run defense so far has been, I would guess, among the best in football. I don't know. I'm sure a lot of people are going to go big on McKinnon. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Doug Martin, slight hamstring injury. He has played 16, 6, 11, and 16 games in four seasons. So it's obvious Charles Sims. Anybody else in the Tampa Bay backfield that you guys would consider here?
No, just go get, if Charles Sims happens to be out there, if Martin misses multiple games, Sims is a top 15 back.
Yeah, Jarquez Rogers got a couple of carries yesterday, but I don't expect him to be much more than a change of pace back for Charles Sims, who already does most of the things Jarquez Rogers does anyway.
Yeah, better. Now Heath and I in our podcast Rejects League, the team we share, we had a huge decision. Do we start Doug Martin or Amir Abdullah? We went with Doug Martin, and they both got hurt. And Amir Abdullah, foot injury. He was in a walking boot after the game. I believe Russell Wilson was also in a walking boot after last week's game. So walking boot does not necessarily mean long-term injury. Obviously, Theo Riddick needs to be owned. And by the way, I think Riddick and Sims are less than 90% owned, but very owned. So we're talking 10-team leagues or shallower. They might be available. But for Detroit, is there anyone else in that backfield that you would consider?
You've got to consider Dwayne Washington.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if Abdullah misses a long period of time, I think Washington's pretty much a lock for 10 plus touches and most likely the goal line work.
It's really a shame because Abdullah, I'm pretty convinced he's very good.
The breakout looked like it was happening through a game and a third.
Jonathan Stewart, left hamstring injury. Now, Cameron Artis Payne was inactive, but he will be back in the picture next week. It seems inactive unlikely that Stewart will not miss any time.
Inactive each of the first two games, it's worth saying, with Cameron Artis Payne.
Fozzie Whitaker, 2% owned, 16 carries for 100 yards, and 3 catches for 31 yards and a fumble. Remember, Jonathan Stewart was Jamie's start of the week, so it's not a huge surprise that Whitaker came in and was very good. He has not had a lot of work. I don't think he's ever had more than 9 carries in a game with Carolina.
Yeah.
So Whitaker, Artis Payne, who would you guys lean toward?
Probably Whitaker. I was big on Cameron Artis Payne. I was impressed with the way he looked in the preseason, but the fact that he's inactive the first two games of the season tells you who has a leg up.
And I mean, that might just be like a situational thing where they think Cameron Artis Payne is a little redundant with Jonathan Stewart healthy. He doesn't play in special teams, maybe, so there's a possibility that it's just Whitaker can do a little more, and so that makes him more useful on the 53-man or the 47-man roster on game day. But it definitely looks like he's the guy to go get.
Thomas Rawls, leg contusion after he was kicked in the leg. Does this one seem the least serious to you?
You know what's more serious is the fact that Christian Michael has just been flat out better than him. Like, way better.
Well, that's true, yeah. But there was
a lot of Thomas Rawls into the line for -1 yards yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, he had a bad game in week one and they went back to him. And we saw what Rawls is capable of doing last year.
Yeah.
But, well, you know what? It's really not that relevant because Christian Michael is owned. We know what's going on there in Seattle. It doesn't seem that bad, though, for Thomas Rawls. It's just a leg contusion. Arian Foster hurt his groin. This one is pretty interesting. Chris, what's your take here? You talk about not being very good, Jay Ajayi. I mean, I don't know how we get excited about him.
I mean, I almost we haven't seen that much of Jay Ajayi, but he averaged, 3.8 yards per carry last season. When he got the opportunity, he didn't look all that good. He didn't look good at all in the preseason. He was inactive for week one. They didn't even bring him to Seattle, right? They didn't even pay for his flight out.
I think they were driving to the airport.
They wouldn't even put him on Frontier Airlines.
He was being a jerk on the bus, and they said, if you don't stop it, we're going to turn this bus
around
right now.
That actually does – you are joking, but that actually does sound like what the issue was that he was just – the coaching staff didn't like his attitude after losing out to Arian Foster. And in fairness, they also said similar things about Devontae Parker, who had a really nice game yesterday. So it's not necessarily a death knell with this coaching staff. I think Kenyon Drake's going to be involved a little bit. He did get goal line work yesterday and scored a touchdown. I don't know how excited I am to go add Jay Ajayi, though.
I would add Drake before I'd add Ajayi.
Really?
And I think
Ajayi gets more available.
I think Ajayi gets more carries next week, probably. But I there's still a chance that Drake is good, and I don't think Ajayi is good.
Ajayi 63% owned. Kenyon Drake only 4% owned. They've got Cleveland coming to town next week.
Okay. Maybe you add Ajayi then.
Yeah, I mean, Kenyon Drake was like my first man crush of the season. I loved him. Remember? I was so excited. I thought he had such a great opportunity. Then they signed Arian Foster. I was still excited for Kenyon Drake because I didn't buy Arian Foster. And then, you know, the thing about Drake, why I backed off of him, he is very injury prone. Going back to college. And he's already been injured.
Get the safety with Ajayi.
The thing you like with him is not so much the rushing ability, because he didn't run the ball all that much at Alabama, but the pass catching. He had 29 receptions as a senior. Jay Ajayi so far has not shown much as a pass catcher.
But Ajayi was the pass catcher yesterday, right?
He did have 4 catches yesterday, yes.
I think Drake would be better, though, you know, in space in that role. Danny Woodhead, left with a knee injury, is going to have an MRI today. Kenneth Farrow was active. Obviously, we know this helps Melvin Gordon, and he's one of Heath's winners. He's had 2 good games. Andre Williams was inactive. I don't know how anybody's going to get excited about Andre Williams.
Nope.
But, you know, we just got to say these names. These are guys who could have a role. Kenneth Farrow, Andre Williams. Remember, Brandon Oliver's out for the year with the Achilles injury. So, deeper league pickups there. But Gordon, Heath, he's one of your winners. It could be a really nice year for Melvin Gordon.
If they come out and say that Danny Woodhead tore his ACL and he's out for the year, I think Melvin Gordon's probably a top 12 back the rest of the
season. What was Woodhead's season-ending injury 2 years ago? Was it a knee injury as well?
I don't recall, but Gordon has looked very good. I think he's not had the easiest schedule either. We didn't expect the Chiefs' run defense to be terrible, and they weren't terrible against Lamar Miller. The Jags' run defense was okay against Eddie Lacy. He looked better than Eddie Lacy. Gordon's definitely a must start. We got a tweet from somebody yesterday. There was a bad one at Dave and Jamie and I asking if we were going to apologize for saying to sit Melvin Gordon 2 weeks in a row. And I thought the nice thing to do was just favorite the tweet and move on. And Dave responds, probably not.
Jamie.
It was a broken fibula for Danny Woodhead in 2014, by the way.
I think it was an ankle, too, but he had a pretty bad leg injury. But yeah, Jamie actually wrote a little story on Adrian Peterson, kind of an instant reaction that was up on the website. And Jamie kept saying, "We hope Adrian Peterson is okay." And I'm thinking, you freaking liar. You are the biggest Jerick McKinnon guy. You want Peterson out so badly. I mean, that's what fantasy does to us. Like, I'll bring it up to Jamie just for fun. I know Jamie doesn't wish harm on people, but you know what I'm saying. He wants his call to pay off. And finally, Rashad Jennings hurt his wrist. Shane Vereen and Orleans Darkwa would have an increased role. Vereen is actually pretty interesting. They're giving him more carries. I don't know that this is a big thing for Jennings. But Vereen probably needs to be owned in 12 teams, certainly PPR or deeper.
I got to feel the pain of being a Giants fan for a few moments yesterday when they got the ball to the 1 yard line and handed it off to Shane Vereen twice in a row.
And he fumbled, right?
No, they just ran it into the line.
He fumbled in the red zone at one point.
Yes, he did that as well.
I don't think he fumbled in the red zone. He fumbled around midfield.
Okay. Own Shane Vereen, sure.
And he didn't lose carries after that. Now, one of your winners, Heath, is LeGarrette Blount. He's had some fumble problems. One of your losers is Rashad Jennings. We will get to all that. But right now, hey, remember when buying tickets online was a confusing process and you never knew if you were getting the best deal? Those days are done. SeatGeek has created an amazing app and website that makes it so easy to buy and sell tickets online. Trust me, SeatGeek is the only app I use for tickets now. And we can save you $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase with our offer code FFT. That's FFT, as in Fantasy Football Today. Here's why SeatGeek is the best. It searches multiple ticket sites. It pulls in results for you all in one convenient place. So you don't have to do the work. SeatGeek will do it for you. More results means better prices, people, and better deals. And SeatGeek ranks the tickets based on value. You're going to see the best deals. I love that feature. You look up a game. You see, oh, here's where I'm going to get a bargain. You buy those tickets. Or you sort by price if that's what you want to do. And our listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app. Go to the settings tab. Click add a promo code. The promo code is FFT. SeatGeek will send you $20 after your first purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code FFT. Also, download the Fantasy Basketball Today podcast with Chris Towers and Joe Polito. Right, Chris Towers?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Do it.
I liked it. I listened to your first episode. I thought it was terrific.
Thank you.
Other key injuries, guys. Julio Jones missed time at the end of the game with a leg injury, not related to his ankle injury, and he should be fine for week three. Jamaal Charles is expected to play in week three. Do you think he'll have a full role in week three?
No.
No way.
Not at all.
Do you think in week four he will?
I think he'll have enough of a role to be startable in week four, assuming everything goes well in week three.
Doug Baldwin, bad game yesterday. Basically, Seattle cannot beat St. Louis or the Rams, Los Angeles.
I mean, it's not just St. Louis. They've had 22 drives on the season. They've scored one touchdown.
Yeah, there are reasons to be concerned. Baldwin, though, if you were concerned about his performance, it was injury related. He needs an MRI on his knee. He played through knee pain and back spasms, and we'll hope for the best. And Tyler Lockett took advantage. He had a good game.
He had a better game as well than what the stats say, because he had like a 30-yard reception called back on a bogus pass interference call, and he missed a portion of one quarter himself with questions about his knee.
Yeah, only four targets, but he caught all four for 99 yards. Also, before I forget, bogus pass interference call. Eric Ebron caught a touchdown that was called back on a bogus pass interference call.
DeAndre Hopkins probably shouldn't have gotten that touchdown either. That was offensive pass interference. He got a defensive pass interference or a defensive holding on that one. That was probably offensive pass interference.
That first one on Peters?
The DeAndre Hopkins touchdown.
He only caught one yesterday. That's right. Yeah. The Peters one. Yeah. But he's still awesome. So be quiet. Jimmy Garoppolo sprained AC joint. Am I going to say the Patriots have no chance to beat the Texans this week if Jacoby Brissett on a Thursday is facing that Texans defense?
I mean, it's the Patriots, so they'll probably win. They'll probably sign some fullback off the Texans practice squad and he'll run for 180 yards.
Oh, yeah. That could happen.
I think you're supposed to really like Jacoby Brissett.
Why?
Who?
I think he is he's a South Florida kid.
Well, he is, but.
He was a Gator.
He committed to Miami and then backed out and went to the Gators, so I pretty much hate Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah. Okay.
Josh McCown may miss next week's game with a shoulder injury. Cody Kessler, Dolphins defense. Think about it. Giants right tackle Marshall Newhouse was in a walking boot after the game. Jacksonville left tackle Kelvin Beachum left with a concussion. Detroit right tackle Donald Stevenson left with a calf injury, and he could miss some time. Virgil Green... I said Detroit, I meant Denver, right tackle. Virgil Green left with a calf injury and could miss some time. And DeMarcus Ware broke his forearm. He might need surgery. The Lions also lost Ziggy Ansah to an ankle injury. They're a little beat up on defense. And two things, guys, real quick. Antonio Gates, he has caught 80 touchdowns since Phillip Rivers became the starting quarterback. 78 of them came from Phillip Rivers. Who threw the other two touchdowns to Antonio Gates? Same person.
LaDainian Tomlinson.
LaDainian Tomlinson is correct.
This is a great, great job, Chris.
There you go.
How did you know that, Chris Towers?
I had a lot. I was always a LaDainian Tomlinson owner early in his career, and I remember specifically some passing touchdowns.
Yeah, they happened. Two of them to Gates. And I don't know if you guys have noticed this. Maybe I'm just slow to the party and late to the party, and he's been doing this for a while. I love Chris Collinsworth. I think he's among the best in the business. Have you noticed that he says foul now instead of penalty? Have you noticed that?
Chris may be the same way. I don't hear the announcers on Sunday night.
Yeah.
At all.
No, I'm usually not watching.
I watched, but I didn't hear anything.
I had to, I had to flip back and forth between the game and the Emmys last night.
What?
I was really into the Emmys, so.
That's pretty weak, dude.
Like, I like award shows.
That's pretty weak.
I watched the game. It's just by that time of day, I need to have the sound off. I'm usually writing and trying to pretend like I'm still a dad for a couple hours.
Fair. Now, I want to institute the Chris Collinsworth drinking game, and everybody out there, make sure you're like at home and, you know, can do this responsibly. Take a drink every time he says foul, because it's very, I don't know why he made the transition. I don't like it.
Oh man, do the Raiders play on Sunday Night Football this year? That would be a party.
Also, if you're watching an awards show, least likely to succeed probably would have gone to Eddie Lacy last night. I'm very discouraged. Let's talk about winners and losers and start with the winners. We'll start with the good stuff first. LeGarrette Blount is Heat's winner. 29 carries, 123 yards, and a touchdown. He has fumbled twice. But as I mentioned last week, because I think he was a winner for me last week, Heath, I think you're piggybacking.
He was much better this week.
Yeah, they don't give James White the ball. I think he had four carries. He never gets carries. So what do you think about Blount, who was a sleeper for you preseason, Heath? What do you think about him rest of season?
Well, I don't know for sure about rest of season because this is the Patriots we're talking about, but if you have LeGarrette Blount on your bench and you just lost a starting running back, you couldn't be much happier because with Jacoby Brissett under center, they are going to hand the ball to LeGarrette Blount. They gave it to him 29 times in this game. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets 30 against Houston or against Buffalo. We saw what Matt Forte did to the Buffalo Bills defense. Blount is going to get all the work he can handle until Tom Brady comes back, and even after that, I think he's going to be what we expected before the season.
Yeah, last year, he got a lot of work. I mean, talking probably about 17 carries a game. I'll try to look up the game log. But after the Deion Lewis injury, these were his totals. 19, 16, so I oversold it a little bit. 19, 16, 9 carries at Denver, 13, and 10. Still, double-digit carries.
Yeah, very, very, very pleased with LeGarrette Blount.
And we talked about Melvin Gordon. Blount has a Thursday night game against Houston. Gordon has the Colts on the road, and then the Saints, and then at Oakland. So nice little schedule coming up for Melvin Gordon.
And then sell.
I don't know, man. Like, here's the thing. I think Gordon and Abdullah, such disappointing rookie seasons. At least Abdullah, I think it was just the workload.
Right.
He did well when he got the ball. But I'm not giving up on Abdullah. I mean, I know he's a foot injury. I still think he's going to have a good year, pending the news. But I think both these guys are going to have nice second seasons.
Agreed.
All right, Chris's winners. He's going Throwback Thursday to Ryan Fitzpatrick. Did I use Throwback Thursday in the right context there?
Sure.
You don't even like Fitzmagic.
You said it.
I said it.
You don't even like Fitz. You don't even believe in Fitzmagic.
I'm not 100% sure he's good, but he was amazing on Thursday. That was the best he's ever played, maybe. This stat really stood out to me. He completed 10 passes on throws 15 or more yards beyond the line of scrimmage. That's the most in any game in his career, tied for the third most by any quarterback in the last 10 seasons. He had just 9 combined in 2 games against the Bills last season. He's actually looked okay so far this season. I think, why can't he be a top 12 fantasy quarterback again this season? He did it last year.
If you believe in Fitzmagic.
It's not even really about Fitzmagic. He played well on Thursday, but
he was awful.
He was awful in week one.
Terrible. With the same receivers.
But didn't have a terrible fantasy performance. Had a good fantasy performance, a great fantasy performance in week two. And, you know, it looks like he even has a third receiver.
Yes.
Say his name.
Anunua.
Yes.
Quincy Anunua.
That's a good point. No, I mean,
boom!
That helps. Quincy Anunua, and we know Forte can catch passes as well.
Yeah.
Your other winner is Marvin Jones. Now, I offered a trade on Saturday before the games on Sunday. I had some depth at wide receiver. So I offered Marvin Jones and Michael Crabtree for Jordy Nelson. Just trying to do a 2-for-1, get the best player. I pulled the deal off the table. Not because I think it necessarily would end up being a bad deal, but because I think Jones would have even more value now.
Yes.
What do you think, Chris, about Jones?
21 targets in the first 2 games of the season. I think he's the 6th Lions player ever to have 200-plus yards in the first 2 games of the season. He's playing really well. All the talk about him being the number one target in the offense before the season really has looked correct. I think Golden Tate had 2 catches yesterday. He hasn't been good at all. And Marvin Jones seems to be the only player Matt Stafford's willing to throw the ball more than 5 yards to.
Okay, this, I know we don't want to get too far off track, but there are 10 players that have at least 21 targets so far this season. Marvin Jones and A.J. Green are the only two of those 10 that are over 200 yards receiving, which is a little bit odd. Tavon Austin is in that group.
Yeah, he's going to have 100 catches.
He has 63 yards on 21 targets.
He's going to have 100 catches for 45 yards.
he had most of those targets in week one. He didn't have a lot of targets yesterday, Tavon Austin. He's going to get dropped. I mean, that was such a worthless draft pick. I'm glad I don't have Tavon Austin on any team. I don't know, it's his fault, but obviously circumstances there. Okay, so my winners. I'm going with two guys that I don't really believe in, and I'm just going to throw them out there to see how you guys feel about them. And I think I might be wrong about both of them. I'll be honest with you.
I think you're right about one of them.
All right, I could be wrong about both, right about both. We'll see. Mike Wallace, who is 70% owned, who caught two touchdowns yesterday and caught one in week one. And Isaiah Crowell, 85-yard touchdown run, 18 carries for 133 yards and a touchdown. And they said they want to give him the ball more. Hugh Jackson said he wants to give Crowell the ball more. He gave him 18 carries. When Crowell had 15 or more carries last year, it happened four times. He scored 13 or more fantasy points in standard scoring leagues in three of those four games. He had one bad game. But Mike Wallace, Isaiah Crowell, who's buying them?
I will not be buying Mike Wallace. I'm glad he scored two touchdowns yesterday. He had 41 yards on six targets. Maybe he has another 2014 type of season where he ended up with 10 touchdowns and 860 yards and just can be good enough for fantasy to be worth having on your roster, but I am not buying Mike Wallace.
Here's a Mike Wallace stat for you. He's gotten six targets in each of his first two games, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a 96 target pace for the season. Mm-hmm. Not generally enough unless somebody's a deep threat. Mike Wallace in 2010 got 98 targets. That was the best fantasy year he ever had. He had 1,257 yards and 10 touchdowns. I really struggle with the idea that the third option in the passing game, and that's what he is right now. Dennis Pitta and Steve Smith both have more targets than Wallace does. The third option in the passing game is going to be fantasy relevant.
But if he's better than Steve Smith, he's going to get more targets than Steve Smith.
Listen, I don't think he's better at Steve Smith at 95% of being a receiver. But
hold on, I know what you're going to say. Oh, the deep threat. He wasn't a deep threat yesterday. He wasn't productive on deep routes yesterday. He scored two red zone touchdowns.
I'm not saying that the reason he's a winner is we didn't draft him.
No.
At all.
No.
He's a boom bust wide receiver three play right now.
Sure.
That's a huge leap from undrafted to boom bust wide receiver three play.
I'm willing to pick him up now. I wasn't after last week. I didn't care, but now I'm willing to say I might be wrong about Mike Wallace.
He shouldn't stay on the waiver wire.
Someone can pick him up.
Okay. How about Crowell?
I think he's going to get work. I'm not sure if he's good, but he was seriously undervalued on draft day because we knew he was going to get work. Nobody gets excited about him. He might not be good, but running backs who get work are valuable, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm relatively excited about Crowell.
You know what's crazy? He's had 230-plus yard games, Isaiah Crowell.
Yeah?
He's the first Browns running back to have 130 yards in a game since Peyton Hillis. Who did it three times in 2012.
All right. How about the losers from week two? Heath, Rashad Jennings is one of your losers.
I don't even care that he got hurt. He was awful. If you can't 13 carries, 27 yards against the New Orleans Saints, and they're giving goal line carries to Shane Vereen, when are you ever, ever in the history of Rashad Jennings' career going to feel comfortable starting him again? After he did that with that matchup, And now we don't even know for sure that if they get to the goal line, he's the guy to get the ball. If Rashad Jennings isn't going to give you touchdowns, what's he going to give you?
I think if he's healthy, he's more likely to get goal line work than Vereen.
So he gets 60% of them and Vereen gets 40%?
That might have just been a total fluke.
It was a bad fluke.
It was a bad game for Jennings. I'm glad I sat him. I sat him for DeSean Jackson. Good for me. That did barely worked out. Yeah, I just think the Giants, when they get down to the goal line, I think they're going to pass a lot more than they're going to run. I think that's the bottom line. And Eli Manning, bad game yesterday in fantasy points. I think you can be pretty excited about him because those three receivers look pretty good.
Bad Bad day for Rashad Jennings. You said you sat him. You probably won't be surprised with my attitude about him that I did not sit him, and I played him everywhere on FanDuel. So
yeah, I didn't buy it with
Kenny
him.
Stills. He's not as good as Devontae Parker. Like, we knew that. We kind of got sucked into the coaching staff likes him more. He scored a touchdown. He got four targets.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Stills is not a thing.
Chris, you agree?
Yeah, I think like they sat Devontae Parker. Coaching staff complained about his or Adam Gase criticized his toughness, I think, right before the season. But then he gets right back on the field and immediately has a 100-yard game. He's by far the most talented receiver in Miami.
Chris's losers, Todd Gurley. Whoa.
It's more about the team around him so far. He had another game where his ability shone through, because he had 49 yards after contact yesterday. That's another healthy number. He only had 51 yards total. I believe he still has more yards for the season after contact than overall, which is really bad. And it's just they're not giving him any help at all. He has a really tough. Yeah, he has 101 yards after contact per Pro Football Focus, 98 yards total. That's just, I don't know how you can be good with that kind of offensive line play.
It's a tough schedule coming up at Tampa Bay. They have a good run defense. At
it's
Arizona,
been a tough schedule.
Buffalo, at Detroit, the Giants, then a bye, then Carolina, then at the Jets. There's some okay matchups in there, but it's not a great schedule for Gurley. Who are you more concerned about, guys, Gurley or Lamar Miller?
Huh. I mean, Lamar Miller has not looked good so far. And, that, you know, this is after a career where he's been super efficient and just hasn't gotten the workload. Now
It's because he was fresh.
He's got, what, 53 touches or 53 carries in the first two games? His previous career high for a two-game stretch, I believe, was 34.
Texans are turning him into a plotter.
I'm probably not that worried about either.
I'm more worried about Gurley, for sure. But I do think we got a little bit overexcited about Lamar Miller taking his 15-touch efficiency and turning it into 25-touch production.
Well, he hasn't been efficient no matter how many touches he gets. Both teams, I mean, might have offensive line issues. The Rams, one of their offensive linemen said that the defenses have changed their schemes a little bit and are gearing in on Gurley. That's not a surprise. That happens. But the Texans lost their center before the season started. And so I think they had another injury there on the line.
Didn't Dwayne Brown miss?
Dwayne Brown got hurt.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly the severity of it. But
let's just move on to the next loser.
He's still out. Right? Is he on the PUP list?
He was activated from the PUP list in the preseason.
Okay. Well, anyway, it's not great for those guys. Would you rather have Melvin Gordon or Lamar Miller or Todd Gurley?
I would still rather have the other two than Gordon.
Yep.
Okay. How about Kobe Fleener, Chris? Are you ready to drop Kobe Fleener? Two catches for 29 yards on 8 targets after one catch for 6 yards on 4 targets in week 1.
Heath and I were talking about this. I've heard a lot of, like, well, Kobe Fleener's not just not good. Of course he's playing poorly. Talk on Twitter over the last couple of days. I didn't see that much of it in the preseason.
It was there.
It might be a situation where Kobe Fleener's not as good as, like, the pedigree coming out of college or what, but he was productive. Like, when he had the chance in Indianapolis, he split a lot of touches with Dwayne Allen, and that kind of limited his ceiling. But he hasn't looked good so far. It's been really, really rough. 2 catches for 29 yards. Him and Drew Brees just do not seem to be on the same page. And in fairness, Drew Brees just wasn't good yesterday. But, Kobe Fleener, the only thing that makes me hesitant to drop him is, who am I picking up?
Well,
I think that's pretty clear.
Sure, you can pick up Dennis Pitta.
I would not. See, okay, I think it's a little bit of a risk. I want to remind everybody, Ben Watson, we know, we've said it over and over, top 8 tight end last year. Mm-hmm. He scored 9 combined fantasy points in the first 4 games of the season in standard scoring.
Fleener's going to have to get moving.
What?
Fleener's going to have to get moving to catch that pace.
You can say all you want, but this is the football season. You know, look, he's on the field all the time. Things happen where in the first few weeks of the season that are not indicative of the rest of the year. Like Larry Fitzgerald last year, by the way. Same thing's going to happen this year. Kobe Fleener is on the field all the time, got eight targets. He's not playing well. He had a bad drop yesterday. Then Drew Brees just missed him up the seam, but there have been some opportunities. And same thing with Clive Walford. Clive Walford, right? Week one, there were some opportunities there. And that's why I kind of bought into him in week two with a good matchup, and he paid off. He had like 50 yards and a touchdown. I still think there's production to come for Kobe Fleener. I wouldn't mind buying low. Even if he's bad, he's still going to be the preferred tight end who's going to be on the field a lot for New Orleans, and he's going to fall into production.
The bigger thing is, like I said, who are you dropping Kobe Fleener for?
Dennis Pitta.
Has suffered two separated hips and has played seven games in the previous three seasons, had gone 1,273 days between 100-yard games. That is a fact.
How many days has it been since Kobe Fleener had one?
Less than that, I would bet.
Probably fewer. Dennis Pitta hasn't had a 100-yard game since Kobe Fleener was a rookie.
Oh, no, he did have one in 2014.
See, I understand if people want to drop Kobe Fleener. I think you could end up regretting it.
Okay, maybe Dennis Pitta. We'll say Dennis Pitta, yes. Dwayne Allen, who's splitting targets with Jack Doyle. Austin Seferian Jenkins, who can't get on the field. Clive Walford, who...
My point is, if you drop Kobe Fleener, you're deciding to stream tight ends for the rest of the year. And I think that's a fine plan.
I don't. I think tight ends are terrible. I don't want to stream tight ends.
Yeah, well, one of those tight ends that's terrible is Kobe Fleener.
So far.
Right. He's still a tight end with upside. I'd rather bet on Kobe Fleener hitting his upside than trying to play matchups, which is something that's incredibly tough to do.
I also think it matters, and it's different. It matters for different reasons, but is this a PPR or a standard league? Because dropping Fleener for Pitta and PPR makes all the sense in the world. He's Flacco's security blanket.
He had four targets in the first week.
I understand. It was his first week back.
I would like...
What's the argument for Kobe Fleener?
I just said the argument. The argument is that these things happen in fantasy football. Guys get off to bad starts all the time. He's still on the field all the time. He had eight targets.
Well, I would just... The argument for Dennis Pitta is he had one good game.
And when he was healthy, he was better than Kobe Fleener's ever been.
4 years.
No, that's where you're wrong.
Kobe Fleener,
when he has played without Dwayne Allen in Indianapolis, has been the best tight end in football. Probably better than Rob Gronkowski. If you look at like the seven or eight games that Kobe Fleener played without Dwayne Allen, the numbers were that good. They were staggering. That's my argument.
What is this Dennis Pitta like track record that we're banking on? He had like 680 yards 1 year, right?
Yes.
What's his career high?
670.
670 with eight touchdowns. Seven touchdowns. Kobe Fleener has had a better season than that already, and he's not 31 coming off three missed seasons.
He did have 774 and eight touchdowns once in 5 years.
They just played Cleveland, for goodness sake.
Let's move on. Let's move on.
All right, Adam's losers.
Kobe Fleener cannot be touched. Must start every week.
Latavius Murray and the Green Bay offense are my losers. What's up with Latavius Murray? He's playing well, but he's not playing that much. They gave Jalen Richard the biggest carry of the game on 4th and 2. He got 1 yard. And Jack Del Rio said, all of our running backs are pretty good. We were running the ball well, and they're all going to play. Do you feel like Latavius Murray is not going to live up to his value?
This was my concern with Latavius Murray a little bit coming into the season, is that you got a guy, was he a 7th-round pick or an undrafted free agent, who's coming into his free agency season? They're not necessarily super invested in him, so they don't have a ton of... You know, if he's by far the best running back, and maybe he is, and that'll change, but you know, they're not necessarily super invested in him.
Yeah, it's not a good start to the season, but I mean, he's not getting the touches we were hoping for, and he's still pretty much been a top 10 running back. So with all the other running back injuries we've had and the struggles of the other guys we were drafting as top 15 running backs, the touches are concerning, but as long as he's performing, I'm not that concerned.
Green Bay's offense, I am concerned. I don't think... Look, I want to see them get home, and what's about to happen to Green Bay is amazing. They're basically going to be home for 5 straight weeks. Detroit at home, then a bye, then the Giants, Cowboys, and Bears at home. And we know the Packers are better at Lambeau, much better. But it's Eddie Lacy I'm concerned about. He's huge. This P90X stuff, this is garbage. Like, this guy is still overweight. He's not moving well, and I don't see big play potential from him. So I think what you're hoping for Lacy is that he scores, and he got a goal line carry, and he got stuffed. But he's splitting snaps, basically, with Starks a little bit more than Starks. I've kind of lowered my expectations. I feel like I'm still going to start him. I regret taking Lacy in the 2nd round at this point. And I think Melvin Gordon's going to have a better year than Eddie Lacy.
So one thing I will say with Eddie Lacy, he's the Pablo Sandoval of the NFL, right? Like, his weight is an issue when he's not playing well, but when it's not, it's just, oh, he's just big, and he's like that. That's kind of how it is.
Well,
right?
He was bigger last year than he'd ever been.
Sure, but he was still big 3 years ago when he was really good.
I think the problem is when you live on the borderline, if you gain 10 or 15 pounds, it matters more than if somebody else does.
But like, look at him now, guys. He still looks enormous, and he's not playing.
I thought that last night, too.
Right? He's huge.
And yeah. He was big in 2014. It's not, I just don't think he's, I think it's mostly a non-issue. I think the bigger issue is the workload. Maybe he's just not that good, but I just don't know how much his weight has to do with it.
Well, is the weight the reason he's not getting the workload?
You know, he's not getting enough workload, and you need a guy who can break off a 25, 30 yard run, have a big play, and I think those are going to be few and far between from him. And unless he gets 20 carries, then you're talking about a 60 yard game from Eddie Lacy. You're just hoping he finds the end zone.
Yeah.
I think it's concerning. I'm very interested to see what happens. Randall Cobb, I feel like Davante Adams looks like the preferred guy over Randall Cobb right now. Jordy, I think, will be fine, but maybe not great. And as an Aaron Rodgers owner in our rejects league, I'm not burying the Packers. I think that would be stupid, but I do think it's time for them to think about some changes here. We know how simplified their routes are and their offense or whatever. I don't know that it's working anymore. Mike McCarthy's got to figure some things out. It was a very disappointing start to the season against look what Phillip Rivers just did to the Jaguars, for God's sake. And,
Packers. Well, it seems like their best plays are when Aaron Rodgers goes off script.
Yeah, but
which worries me. About maybe the script's just really bad.
Yeah, maybe. And it's still, those aren't as good as they used to be.
It could be a little like Andrew Luck, where he seems to play better once the team stops doing what they prefer to do.
All right, injuries, news, and notes. Just a few more things here. RG3 expected to miss 10 to 12 weeks with a fractured shoulder, according to Adam Schefter. The Saints, already bad at cornerback. They lost PJ Williams in the first quarter to a head injury. Had his spine checked out. It was scary, and we wish him the best. The Cardinals, you know, they signed Thorold Simon, and they also traded for Marcus Cooper not long ago. He ended up playing ahead of Brandon Williams, and Cooper had two interceptions. So for the Cardinals, they're hoping they found a number two cornerback. Kedrick Golston for Washington, defensive tackle. He played one play. He did not return. So big guy up front that they're missing on defense. We'll go through every game now as quickly as we can. I know I'm going to forget it, so I mentioned the Marcus Cooper thing. I think it was encouraging. In that same game, as bad as Jameis Winston was, Mike Evans caught a touchdown on Patrick Peterson, and Patrick Peterson was on him a lot for all the talk about him not shadowing him. I think it gives you some more faith that there's probably no scenario at this point where you're sitting Mike Evans.
One of the least efficient games you've ever seen from a receiver with that many targets.
What did he end up with? He didn't do well with the targets?
I saw the stat on Twitter, and it was basically of players that have gotten as many targets as he got in week one. He's one of two or three. He had 17 targets in the game and 70 yards.
And a touch.
Right. The touchdown, I mean, for fantasy, it's good, but 70 yards on 17 targets is terrible.
I'll chalk that up to Patrick Peterson.
Okay.
And Jameis played really poorly. Horribly. Think we don't expect him to be that bad.
Like, that was the problem with Evan last year, was inefficiency, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
But he's a deep guy. He's a deep threat guy, so he's not going to catch a ton of his targets. All right, you know, why don't we just start with that game? Arizona 40 and Tampa Bay 7. Give me your hot take on the Bucs, who were looking like, smelling like roses after week one. Now, not so much. What do you think? Tough schedule coming up.
All right. I'm not particularly worried. Arizona had a really nice bounce back game on defense. Maybe we anointed Jameis Winston a little too early, but I think he's still going to have a really good season. I'm not worried about Mike Evans, and as long as Doug Martin's healthy, I'm starting him as well.
This is what borderline startable quarterbacks do. They do very well in good situations, and then they travel cross country against a very good defense, and they do very poorly. So, yeah, what happened in week one or what happened in week two has changed my opinion that much on this offense.
It is stark how much worse Jameis Winston looked in week two than week one, though.
I probably need to go ahead and give up on Vincent Jackson again.
Atlanta looks like the worst pass defense in the NFL right now, or at least one of them. Derek Carr carved him up, and Jameis Winston did in week one. Real quick on the Cardinals, guys. Buy low Michael Floyd, sell high Larry Fitzgerald?
You're not going to be able to sell high on Larry Fitzgerald because nobody's going to give you better than top 25 wide receiver value, and there's no reason to sell him for less than top 25 wide receiver value.
I think somebody might give you more than that.
Okay. If you could get borderline number one value, then yes.
Would you give up Larry Fitzgerald for Jordy Nelson?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely in standard. In PPR, it's pretty close, but I would.
What about for Randall Cobb?
No.
Okay. Moving on to Atlanta-Oakland. So this is a big game, 35-28. A lot of scoring here. We talked about Matt Ryan. You know, both running backs played well for the Falcons, but this could be really annoying for fantasy owners.
I was impressed with the way Freeman ran the ball. He looked much, much better. But yeah, it's going to be annoying.
Coleman was the only one that caught a pass, right?
Yes, yep. No targets for Freeman. Makes no sense.
It's really annoying. And Coleman got the touchdown. It wasn't a goal line carry, but it was a red zone carry, right?
Right.
It was
and like Freeman on the drive just before that had gotten carries in the red zone. So it's
there's no rhyme or reason to it. I think they're both marginal starting running backs right now.
Okay, and for the Raiders, I'm not sure I'm loving Michael Crabtree like long term. I kind of feel like he's a sell high. And I just, they've played the Saints and the Falcons. They've played two very bad defenses. And he just, I don't know. Like, at the end of last year, last eight games, Crabtree wasn't very good. He needed touchdowns, to be relevant. He had five targets, four catches, 31 yards, and a touchdown. I'd be cool selling high on Crabtree. What about you guys?
He had 922 yards on 85 catches last year. It's not like he was all that good outside of the touchdowns. He needed 140, you want to talk about inefficient, 146 targets for 922 yards. Michael Crabtree really wasn't that good outside of the touchdowns last season. He's going to be a touchdown-dependent player.
The question is,
can he be Eric Decker?
We covered Minnesota-Green Bay. Let's go to the Giants and the Saints. 16-13, big letdown in this one.
This wasn't the bonanza, right?
No, the bonanza was even lower scoring than this, I think. No, well, it wasn't.
But you did say this is actually the bonanza. You just didn't want to say the Saints twice in a row.
Correct, correct. I went with the Lions and the Titans. I thought that was going to be a high scoring game. And no. Any thoughts on Odell Beckham and does his production go down with Sterling Shepard and Victor Cruz looking pretty good?
That was one of my believe it or not topics that's coming out very soon on CBSSports.com. America believes, like they do with pretty much everything else I put out there, that whatever's happened in the first 2 weeks is real. Odell Beckham can't match last year's numbers if Sterling Shepard and Victor Cruz stay healthy. 74% believe it.
I mean, intuitively, it makes sense.
Right.
They didn't have really, but Reuben Randall was the number two receiver last year.
Each of the last 2 years, Reuben Randall's finished second on the team in targets, and he's much worse than Cruz or Shepard.
I would say I'm not sure how concerned I am about Odell Beckham. Unless like I took him number one overall, then I'm obviously concerned, but I still think he'll provide first round value.
Yeah, I mean,
especially because Dez has fallen as well. Like I'm probably, if I'm drafting today, I'm probably drafting Beckham after A.J. Green and DeAndre Hopkins. So maybe the fifth wide receiver now, but still ahead of Allen Robinson. So,
yeah.
Borderline first-round value.
And I would say that I don't expect Cruz to be healthy all year, so keep that in mind and keep this in mind. He dropped like a 35-yard touchdown on the final drive of the game.
It was kind of a tough catch, right? It was like one of those
overhead.
It hit him right in both of his hands. Oh. I mean, it would be tough for you and I because he was running full speed and the ball hit him in the hands.
I couldn't run that fast.
Beckham's going to be fine, but maybe not going to be unbelievable. Maybe not top three overall good, but top 12. Not at the position. Overall players, we mean. Now, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati. Can we blame some of the bad production in this game on bad weather?
Ben Roethlisberger did not look comfortable throwing the ball for most of the first, I would say at least the first half. When I was watching that game a little more closely, he was pushing the ball.
Gio, very very happy with Gio Bernard breaking one.
What about Jeremy Hill? Are you guys, they got another tough matchup coming up with Denver. So it's Hill scored a touchdown in week one, but I mean, the yards per carry are terrible. I know that Jets and Steelers, good run defenses, but he shouldn't be doing this badly. I'm not happy about it.
I'm not sure how good Jeremy Hill is. Yeah. Like, he needed 11 touchdowns to salvage his season last year, but he averaged 3.6 yards per carry.
Yep.
He basically has like one good eight-game stretch to his name.
Yeah, I've been defending him tooth and nail, but you know, I might have to reevaluate it. I still believe in Jeremy Hill, but kind of lame how bad of a start he's gotten off to. San Diego 38, Jacksonville 24. Do you think Phillip Rivers can be not this good? Because how many points did he score? 31. But do you think he can be a viable starter rest of season? Because I really did not without Keenan Allen.
I would like him on my team the next 2 weeks.
Three,
yeah.
Yeah, at Indianapolis, home against New Orleans, at Oakland. Woo!
Yeah. I am interested in his receivers, though.
Yes.
I'm very interested in that Tyrell Williams touchdown was
right. Impressive. Yeah.
It was what, like a 4-yard pass that he took 40 yards after the catch, broke about 18 tackles inside the 5-yard line to get in. He did need a little help from an offensive lineman who kind of rumbled in and pushed in the last couple yards, but it was a very impressive play.
Would you trade Travis Benjamin for Michael Floyd?
Yes.
Yeah, but I did. That was one of the other poll questions. 79% of America believes Travis Benjamin is must start in leagues where you start three wide receivers.
That's fair. Houston 19, Kansas City 12. Yeah, I think we pretty much covered this. We talked to Lamar Miller. Will Fuller, 89% own.
Second player since at least 1960 to have at least 100 yards in his first two career games. The only other one to do it, DeSean Jackson.
I was wrong about Will Fuller.
Yeah, he's turns out fast. He's good.
Turns out being able to catch the ball isn't that important in the NFL.
No, drops are overrated. I honestly feel that way.
Yeah, I agree.
Because there are not that many drops throughout the course of the season. Like, they're kind of glaring when they happen, but...
He does have Ted Ginn hands, though.
And that's the thing. Like, it depends. If you're Brandon Marshall, drops are overrated. If you're Ted Ginn, that's what's keeping Ted Ginn from being a productive NFL wide receiver.
That's true. He's probably the worst, though. Tennessee 16, Detroit 15. So this game just barely outscored the Giants game. Are you worried about Golden Tate, guys? Like, do you think Golden Tate is droppable?
No.
No, but I am worried about him because I drafted him a lot as a number 2/3 wide receiver, and I'm not happy really with the way the offense is designed to get him the ball, because it basically requires him to break off one of the 19 screen passes that he gets every game. He has to break one of them off, or else he's I know, he's kind of Eddie Lacy-esque. He's going to get a bunch of touches for...
He's Tavon Austin. Except he's good.
And he's in a better offense. He's got a better quarterback. But yeah, like I know in week one, his average depth of target was 1.3 yards. That's insane. It's just screens and dump offs for him. And he's a talented receiver who can do a lot of different things. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah. Bad loss for them yesterday. All right, guys, so you have to do video. That's why we have to wrap this show up a little bit early. So we have about 2 minutes left. Looking at all the other games, Carolina, San Francisco, New England, Miami, Denver, Indianapolis, Los Angeles, Seattle. Anything really stand out to you guys?
Kirk Cousins is really bad.
Kelvin Benjamin is amazing. Monster.
Okay,
I'll
give a one-sentence thing, too. Ezekiel Elliott needs to stop fumbling. You better pick up Alfred Morris just to see where this goes, because he got the touchdown after Elliott fumbled for the second time.
Ezekiel Elliott has been really underwhelming through two games.
I think we can definitely say start slot wide receivers against the Patriots.
But I was going to say the Dolphins, their coverage of the middle of the field yesterday was so embarrassing. Holy cow. Oh,
Jimmy Garoppolo looked good, too.
He did. He played great. Corey Coleman, guys. Are you excited about Corey Coleman? Corey Coleman's game yesterday got me excited about Josh Gordon.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
The one thing I worry about with Cleveland is when Josh Gordon gets back, do they have anybody who can do anything but go deep?
Duke Johnson.
Yeah, there you go. All right, guys. Hey, we made the most of a bad situation with all those running back injuries. And thank you to Chris and Heath. Good stuff, guys. Talk to you, Heath, tomorrow. Chris, Fantasy Basketball Today. Keep on rocking it.
I'll see you next week.
All right, I'm Adam Azer. This is Fantasy Football Today. We're back tomorrow with the Waiver Wire.